Hello everyone, my name is Amy Coates and I'm an immigration attorney with Basham Spiro. I'm here today with Murali Basham.
Hello Amy.
We represent clients across the entire United States. We practice employment-based and family-based immigration law. Today we're going to talk about affidavits of support, Form I-134 and Form I-864. We're going to start out with just an introduction and show you what parts of the law are implicated here. And then I'm briefly going to talk about the I-134 and I-864. And then we'll go on later in the presentation to talk about those in depth. So first of all, the first question is, where do these affidavits of support come from and why do we even need them? Well, when you're coming to the United States, whether it's as a visitor or as an immigrant, you have to be admissible. And there's a laundry list of reasons why someone could be inadmissible to the United States. And one of them is if there's any likelihood that you could become a public charge. So this is called the public charge ground of inadmissibility. Whenever you're applying for a visitor visa, you have to prove that you're not going to come here and go on public welfare or need assistance from the government. And it's the same thing if you're coming here to have a green card. So what you're looking at now is just the law where this comes from, which discusses exactly what a consular officer is supposed to look at when they're determining whether or not someone is a public charge.
And the whole public charge has been on the books for quite some time, right, Amy?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, for a very long time. And also, if you're immigrating to the U.S., so that you'll have a green card here or you're adjusting your status to get a green card, you have to provide an affidavit of support from the sponsor. So it is an actual requirement in some situations. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the difference between the two forms. The first form we're not going to discuss as much and in as much detail because it's really not used that often. Generally, this is not a legally binding document. And also in the document, the sponsor actually specifies what type of support that he or she is willing to provide. If someone is attempting to apply for a fiancé visa, at a U.S. embassy or a K-3 visa, which is for a spouse of a U.S. citizen, then this is the type of affidavit of support that's required. Also, for some people who are applying for a visitor visa, sometimes they'll also submit an I-134 affidavit of support from their sponsor here in the U.S., usually the same person who's written a letter of invitation for them. It's not required, but sometimes it can help. Also, for students are required to show evidence that they can pay for their tuition and pay for their living expenses. So sometimes a student will submit an affidavit of support from a family friend or a relative in the United States.
And I think what we've seen is, obviously it's very important with the K-1 and the K-3s, and especially important with the F-1s because they definitely look at a student's ability to stay in the United States and pay the tuition, etc. In the B-1, the B-2, it's good to submit it, as you were saying, but so far I haven't seen the affidavit of support be an issue in those types of cases, but it does need to be submitted.
Also, we've seen requests from the Immigration Service for derivatives and employment-based cases to file an I-134. My personal opinion on this is that they're sort of going over and beyond their legal requirements, but we do see it every once in a while. Okay, as far as some generalities for the affidavit of support, this document is legally binding. This is legally required for most family-based immigrant visa or adjustment status cases, and also in employment-based cases where the sponsoring entity, where someone who owns part of the sponsoring entity is related to the foreign national. An I-864 is also required in that situation. The law really doesn't tell us which relatives are implicated here, but to be on the safe side, it's usually better to submit it, even if it's just a marriage-based relationship or a biological or marriage-based relationship.
Amy, what does legally binding mean?
They can take you to court.
Who can take you to court?
And we're going to talk about that later on. In the third section, we go into detail about just what the obligations are under this document.